Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to part two, the conclusion of a message entitled Evil Days. But before we get into the conclusion of our preaching and teaching from the Word of the Lord, we have a great song for you from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean from their project entitled Trust. The name of this track is Ready for the Rain.
Ready for the rain. Ready for a chance to grow. It's those showers from above that make the river flow. Ready for the rain. Gonna face a storm head on. Though it drives me to my knees, that's where I'm made strong. I'm ready for the rain.
I always ran for cover when the stormy cloud came rolling down my way, yeah. The sound of distant thunder, it would shake my world and make my heart afraid. But I watched my faith grow stronger with every storm that I walked through. And the blessing of it all is that it brought me close to you.
I'm ready for the rain. Ready for a chance to grow. It's those showers from above that make the river flow. Ready for the rain. Gonna face a storm head on. Though it drives me to my knees, that's where I'm made strong. Ready for the rain.
It seems with every drop that falls, a little more of heaven deals to me. God gives me faith to see a dim reflection of the man I dream to be.
When the sun comes out tomorrow, I'll stand here as living proof. There is a blessing in. Cause it makes me more like you.
I'm ready for the rain. Ready for a chance to grow. It's those showers from above that make the river flow. I'm ready for the rain. Gonna face a storm head on. Though it drives me to my knees, that's where I'm made strong. Even if those showers fall, you're still Lord above it all. So I look up to you for the grace to get me through.
Ready for the rain.
now the conclusion of our message titled, The Evil Days.
Descendants got there. The people who lived in the promised land before Moses and Joshua came to take over the promised land, those people lived so wickedly. They murdered their children. And you hear me, God is going to hold the abortion industry and hold America and the world accountable for the killing of children in abortion. But these people killed their own children in child sacrifice to false gods. They lived in such wickedness, they did such evil, such debauchery, that God marked them for death and put a judgment upon them. He said, I'm going to give this land to my people and I'm going to use my people to execute you. And now, years later, he's saying, my people are doing worse than those people. It provoked him to anger. He said, they've done worse than the people that the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing much evil upon Jerusalem and Judah. That whosoever heareth it, both his ears shall tingle, and I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. God said, you get a picture of a man wiping grease and crumbs off of a dish, I'm going to wipe Jerusalem like that. And when he finishes and he turns it, I'm going to turn Jerusalem upside down. They provoked him to such anger. Verse 14, and I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. The man was a murderer. Beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. I will remind you that the wickedness of the kings of Israel and the increased wickedness of the people of Israel led to a very harsh judgment upon Israel. And the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the increased evil among the people of Judah led to a harsh judgment upon Judah. Separate judgments coming down at different times, one harsher than the other, one sooner than the other, but both of them receiving judgment. I want to talk to you about the heritage of the righteous and the calamity of the wicked. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Let me just put it to you another way. You can pray against what they're doing. You can write letters. You can make calls to Congress. You can submit. You can sign petitions. You can get together and rally and protest. But whatever you do, don't fret. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Now, when God says soon, that may not be the kind of soon you want it to be. Maybe you want to see them cut down right now. And maybe God's saying, no, there's coming a day of judgment when they're going to be cut down. Don't get your undergarments tied up in a knot because God doesn't wipe them out the moment you want him to. But by the same token, remember this, and you've heard me say it over and over again, in the end, nobody gets away with anything. The judge of all the earth will judge right. Fret not thyself. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Thank you, Elder Bud. More than one occasion, I've heard you say in prayer meeting, more than one occasion from this pulpit, we are trusting in God. I'm glad we have Capitol Police. My trust isn't in them. I'm glad we have legislators. My trust isn't in them. I'm glad we have local police. I'm glad we have a governor. I'm not glad with everything he's doing. I'm glad we have a president. I'm glad with some of the things he does, not glad with other things. I'm glad they're there. Appreciate him. But that's not who I'm trusting in. I'm trusting in Almighty God. And so here's the thing. Because I'm trusting in him, I can do good even when it looks like other people are getting away with evil. This is what he says. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Remember that verse I read a minute ago about how when everybody else is starving to death in a famine, you're going to be okay? Anybody remember a prophet that got fed at a brook in the wilderness? He caused birds to bring food to him. And then later, he caused him to be fed by a little widow woman. Folks, do y'all know God has provided for everyone in this church, even right through COVID? Sometimes pretty tight for some. They've had to come and ask for help. But God has provided. He says, you're going to dwell in the land. You're going to be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. If you get, and this is the thing, folks, this is the difference between godliness and concern about our nation versus carnality. Godliness says, I'm concerned. I will weep. I will pray. I will write letters. I will sign petitions. I may even show up and march in a protest. But I will not become so obsessed that I'm ready to do evil over this thing. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, thy judgments as the noonday. Not only are we to delight in him, we're to rest in him. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait. Oh, we hate this word. Patiently. Oh, man, you mean I gotta wait? We're so impatient. If the web page takes 3.5 seconds longer than we want it to, we're ready to throw the computer out the window. One time an evangelist, I'm not going to say his name. If I said his name, you'd know who he was. He asked me if he could use my computer. I told him, okay. I have a lot on my plate. I wear a lot of hats. I have a lot of offices. I carry a heavy load. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning and I still ran out of time today. How does that happen? But I told this evangelist, I asked to use my computer. He asked to use it for just a few minutes. I said, I carry a heavy load. I have to multitask. I have a lot of windows open. So he starts to use my computer and he starts complaining about how slow my computer is. And before I could say anything, he said, I'll tell you your problem. You got too many windows open. He took to closing my windows. He had closed a bunch of them before I could say, stop. I said, I have to multitask. It will take me 2 weeks to get back to where I was before you closed all those windows. He repented. He thought he was going to help me. He was hurting me. But he was caring more about what he could do to make my computer faster for him. We're not a very patient people. Microwave food, fast food from the drive-thru. Let me just pause and say, it's troublesome when I take the time to park, get out, go in, and I'm ignored while everybody going through the drive-thru has attention lavished on them. How about showing some attention to the guy who came in? Have you ever been in standing at a service counter, talking with the service agent, and the phone rings? They put you on hold to answer the phone. It's moments like that when it tries our patience. But he says, wait patiently on the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on him for him. Verse 7. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Folks, I hope you're hearing me and you're reading this in the context of why believers shouldn't be fighting to overpower police officers. For evildoers shall be cut off. But it doesn't look like they're being cut off. It doesn't look like anybody's doing anything about the voter fraud. It doesn't look like any of the court cases are going anywhere. It doesn't look like any of the judges are helping. It doesn't look like it does. You can work yourself up into such a carnal frenzy that you're ready to shoot somebody. You need to cease from anger. You need to forsake wrath. You need to fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, because they may not be cut off when you want them to be. But one day, sometime, the Lord will deal with them. This is the thing. If your trust is in the courts and your trust is in the judges and your trust is in the president, and your trust is in the legislature and your trust is in the governor and they're not taking any action, then you feel like you got no remedy left. But if your trust is in God and you know ultimately He's going to make it right, you're never without a remedy. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. In other words, you can study him real close and watch him disappear before your eyes. Now, the biblical phrase, yet a little while, may not be what you want a little while to mean. It may be a longer time than you think a little while is a little while, but leave that in God's hands. But turning to the righteous now, verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. That may not happen on this side of the rapture, but it will happen. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, that is the wicked one, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. He's going to break their arms, but he's going to hold you up. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and to smoke shall they consume away. Romans chapter 12, verse 17, I read it for you. Render not evil for evil. I read it to you also from 1 Peter 3:9. I want you to consider that there's something worse than rendering evil for evil, and that's rendering evil for good. There are people so evil that when you do good to them, they do evil back to you. David charges that in Psalm 38. He levels that charge at some, and I pray this. May it be so that that charge is never leveled against Holy Ghost-filled apostolic Pentecostal people. That somebody treated us good and we treated them evil in return. Psalm 38, a psalm of David to bring remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for mine iniquities are gone over my head. Sister, if you would, show my graphic from the sermon title again. You see, the waters are over his head and he's reaching up for some help. This is David in this psalm right here. And the waters that are over his head, it's not what the evil people are doing. It's his own mistakes. It's his own sins. Thank you. Go back to the scripture now. He says, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head, and as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. My foolishness, not the enemy's foolishness, my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease and there is no soundness in my flesh. I just want to pause here and say, this is really central. David has no problem calling out the bad guys. He has no problem praying, God, lay them low. Take them out. Bump them off, God. And I can identify with David. I felt that way toward people sometimes. But one thing that's admirable about David is he has an ability for self-introspection. He looks and sees his own mistakes. He somehow is able to be honest before God about his own wickedness. He said, I'm feeble and sore broken I have roared by reason of the quietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I'm ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. Because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. So I mentioned to you the word evil and the related phrases like days of evil or evil days. That can refer simply to bad things happening to someone. It does not always mean that someone is wickedly trying to trespass against you. And regarding bad things happening to good people, including sickness and including death, happening even to godly people. The Bible says, time and chance happeneth to them all. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I've heard some older folks joke that when they reached the golden years weren't so golden. Brother Billy Cole used to say to me how he hurt. And I would say to him, even though I was a young man, I recognized it in him. And I would say, Bishop, the young people don't take their health, their good health, for what it's worth. They don't understand that when you get older, you hurt every day of your life. And he said, oh, Lord, yes. He said, I hurt everywhere, every day of my life. That doesn't mean that somebody was out to do him evil. He had just reached that late stage in life when there's not so much pleasure in the years. The Bible calls that when the evil days come. Genesis 47, beginning with verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of my, have the days of my life been. And have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. He said, my days and my years, they've been evil days. Ecclesiastes 9:11, Solomon writes, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. I want you to hear me. Sometimes evil will happen to you. And at times, you may be the swiftest and still not win the race. At times, you may be the strongest and still not win the battle. At times, you may be the wisest and yet not get the bread that your wisdom should have obtained. At times, you may have understanding and yet not gain the riches that that should have afforded. At times, you may have the very needed skill set and yet not get the job that you applied for. And at some of these times, it's not necessarily an evil plot against you. Now, to be clear, sometimes it is an evil plot. Sometimes you won the election, but it got stolen from you by voter fraud. Sometimes you really had done the work, and that evil salesman at the place where you work really did steal that sale out from under you. What should the attitude of the believer be regarding evil days? The Apostle Paul warned that the last days would be evil days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Watch this. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hear me. If somebody, some preacher, some Sunday school superintendent, some TV evangelist, some neighbor, some family member told you that if you live for God, it would be a rose garden and you would never be persecuted as long as you were right, they lied to you. They misled you. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Folks, does it sound like he saw today on a TV screen and then wrote about it? What's our response? Here it is. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The last scripture, the apostle Paul also gives a very important perspective in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Elder Bud, thank you for joining with me and hanging in here, because one day we're going to make it through COVID. One day we're going to make it through this terrible time. Yeah. And if the Lord delays his coming, I believe we're going to see tears of repentance on these altars, and we're going to see waters of baptism troubled as the name of Jesus is applied and as the blood of Jesus washes away sins. And we're going to see people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Folks, as far as I'm concerned, tonight wouldn't be too soon for that to start. We don't know when it's going to happen. We could start to see it next Sunday or the Sunday after that. Yeah. One thing's for sure, though, if we give up now, we won't be there to see it happen. To me, it doesn't matter if we've got to slave through this for one day or 7 years. However long it takes, we've got to be not weary in well-doing, because if we'll stay the course and see it through, one day we're going to reap if we faint not. Let us rise up and work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season there is reaping on the horizon. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.